Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll read that for us. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have been a fool. You forced me to it, for I ought to have been commended by you. For I was not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. For in what were you less favored than the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this wrong. Here for the 3rd time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. Did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they have practiced." Amen. If you've been following along in 2 Corinthians, we read last week in the previous chapter the Apostle Paul giving the Corinthians a list of both his accolades and his sufferings. And even though Paul had so many accolades to boast about, he says in chapter 11 that he would rather boast in his weaknesses. And in today's passage, he goes into the reason as to why this is the case. Paul starts off this chapter about talking about a man who had this experience with the Lord that was so intense and incredible that in verse 4, Paul describes it like this. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. God gave this man a vision, a revelation that was so indescribable that man can't even utter it. And Paul talks about this man in the third person, but we know that he's actually talking about himself, because in verse 5, he then switches to the first person. But even with such a grand experience of heaven, Paul says this in starting in verse 5. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Paul says this thorn was given to him. In other words, God gave Paul this thorn. Why? To keep him from becoming conceited. In a way, this thorn, this weakness, is a blessing to Paul because it keeps him grounded in reality, the reality that Paul himself, with all of his accolades, with this grand vision of heaven that he had, with all the reason to boast in himself, he still is nothing compared to the glory of God. This is what Paul has been trying to say to the Corinthians for the past few chapters. The Corinthians were so caught up in these super apostles, these church leaders that had all of these cool accolades to show off, that they began to lose sight of the might and glory of God. Paul had all the reason to boast, even more so than these so-called super apostles. But he says that he would rather boast in his weakness. Starting in verse 9. But God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Brothers and sisters, what do we boast about? Is there an accolade in your life where you admire it and you look at it and go, "That accolade, that great accomplishment, I made that happen. I'm so proud of it." Or maybe on the flip side, maybe some of us feel like we have no accolades at all to back up our name. Maybe we feel useless and unimportant because of a lack of accolades. Either way, I think this is the opposite end of the same coin. We want to point glory to ourselves. We want to be worthy and sufficient and proud of what we can make for ourselves. But here in this passage, Paul had everything to boast about. If anyone could boast, it was Paul. But he says he boasts in his weaknesses so that the power of Christ would be revealed. Let's ask God for humility. If we have a tendency to want to feel proud of our own accomplishments, let's ask God for the desire that Paul had to boast in weakness so that Christ might be revealed and glorified. Even on the flip side, where we feel like we have no accomplishments to our name, let's still ask God for humility, because at the root of it, this feeling of inadequacy still stems from our desire to make a name for ourselves. Let's ask God to keep us grounded in the reality of His power and might. His grace is sufficient for you, and His power is made perfect in our weakness. Let's rely on God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word. We want to recognize today that no accomplishment in all the world comes remotely close to your glory. Nothing at all. But somehow, some way, you have taken our weakness, our inability, our hardship to reveal your power. What an amazing God you are. When we are weak, Lord, your power is made perfect. When we have nothing to hold to our name, your grace is sufficient and you are glorified. Thank you, God, that this is the case. If this world depended on our own power, we would be in shambles. But because of you, we boast in our weakness. Lord, we ask that you continue to humble us. This thorn that Paul talks about was, in a way, a blessing you have gifted him with that kept him grounded in this truth. May we also live in this truth, grounded in your reality. God, we want to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.